Hi, this is Sam Thomas, president of the Trinity College of Florida Alumni Association, and I'm here today with one of our alumni.
Elsie and I came to Trinity from DBI, Detroit Bible Institute, and it was there that we probably really fell in love with God.
Is that Detroit Bible Institute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good school. Well, if you go back to those days, there had to be at least 60s Bible institutes in the country. Are there any now? I doubt it. I mean, Biola's a college, used to be.
Yeah.
You know, Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music was, is now college.
Yeah. Toccoa was a Bible college. Yes. Now it's a university.
Yeah.
It's got all the nursing and all of that. Yeah.
So that part's different. It may be necessarily so, because we are different.
Yeah.
But seems to me, Dundas opinion, things have changed, and I'm not exactly happy with it.
Yeah, I understand.
I would like to have been in the board meeting today. Were you there?
No, I'm not on the board. I'm simply president of the Alumni Association for the last, since Les Harris turned it over.
Okay.
I've been doing it, and I was, there was some talk about inviting me to the board, but that was only a year ago, and they, Ed and Mark both said, let's wait till we get a new president and see if he would like to invite you, so we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, I've been off the board about 3 years, 4 years.
Okay.
Attended board meeting a year ago. I would like to have been there today just to hear what's going on, but.
Well, and that was why I wanted to meet with Ed. I just wanted to give him the open-ended question. Is Trinity going to survive past its 90th year?
Yeah, it's a good question.
And that was, I was going to leave it and let him. And then I thought, now can I publish that in my newsletter? What shall I say?
Well,
and so I left him a message on his.
I wanted to, but it'll be different because our world is different.
Yeah.
The needs are different, but the need is still the same. And I'm not sure we're not squeaking away by adding as much, for want of a better word, computer, internet. We're pulling back somewhat, ensure hours of Bible.
Yes.
It's not, we probably have no choice because you can only have so many hours to graduate. And if we add more of the technical end of it, there will be less probably of what took me to Trinity.
Did you feel like Trinity for you was equal to what others would have gotten in a 3-year seminary post graduate school?
Very much so.
Yeah.
In fact,
I felt the same.
With DBI and Trinity, there was a preacher in Detroit that wanted me to go to their seminary and was willing to pay my way. And I said, I've already had more Bible than your seminary teaches. And so, I got into other technical areas. Psychology and philosophy and so on in order to do chaplaincy work and other things.
So what brought you from Detroit Bible Institute to Trinity College? Was that in early 60s?
It would have been in 58.
Yeah, I was thinking. I had to
58.
Yeah, I had to calculate. Yeah. What brought you down? You were already married at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
We married at DBI, and then we knew we wanted more, that we needed more. I did look at Bob Jones, but that turned me off in a hurry.
Okay.
Because that was the time of the New York, be careful. That was the time of the New York Crusade and so on. And from the pulpit, I heard Dr. Bob say, he's the worst man in the world. As in Billy Graham.
Yep.
And I thought, okay. But I did not know at that point that Billy had graduated from Trinity.
Okay.
Or Florida Bible Institute.
So when was that New York Crusade? I can look it up. I can look it up.
Well,
yeah. But it was in the 50s, late 50s,
yeah,
it was, wasn't it?
It was late 50s. I first met Billy in 55 in Detroit.
Okay.
At a Youth for Christ thing. I was a club director for Youth for Christ in Detroit. And I think of some of the schools I had Bible clubs in.
Yeah.
And now I'd want a gun with me.
Permit to carry.
Yeah. Well, I do have that. But, yeah.
So what brought you to Trinity then?
A one inch by 2 inch Trinity College and something about pine trees or you know, palm trees or something.
Uh-huh.
And so we
and
checked.
Where did you see that? What publication?
In Moody.
Moody's magazine?
Yep. And we wrote, talked to other people. They said, come on. Doc Watson said, come on down. We don't have much money. Come on down. We'll take care of you. And they did.
Yeah. So did you enter as a freshman, or did you enter partway through your...
Partway through.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would have been... I got what was called the 3-year diploma and the BA from Trinity.
Okay. Did you, who was your favorite professor during your time at Trinity? Or one that just sticks in your mind?
Well, the one that sticks in my mind and my favorite all time is Dr. Bragg. People say, are you a Pauline? Epistle, yeah, I am. So is Bragg.
Yeah.
And then, he probably impressed me more than anyone else.
Yeah.
For his depth as well as his Pauline theology.
And
being a marriage student, we got invited to his house a few times. Mm-hmm. So there was times when it was, you know, outside of the classroom, and it was at his dining room table.
So you probably ate supper with Peggy and her brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saw Peggy a year ago.
She lives with us over at the AIM Retirement Center.
Oh, okay.
I keep her sprinklers going for her and whatever else.
Now, I don't think any of Bragg's books are still available.
I don't think so either. They are in PDF online. We can get his courses through the website, the Trinity College website. They've posted them on there.
Okay.
There is a website, Peggy, someone else and Peggy manage, that is just 100% Bragg. So the Trinity College website is not the only place you find Braggology.
Okay.
So that's good. I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
What kind of Christian ministry did you do while you were at Trinity?
2 trailer parks.
Okay. Do you remember the name?
Yeah, one. Okay. One was the Vargo, and then one further north. I'm trying to think. I might have to think about this.
That's all right.
But at 2 trailer parks. One Sunday morning, one Sunday night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that also helped get me through the year because, I mean, the offerings were kind of ours.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't a lot, but, well students now would say, you went here for, you know, a couple $100. I said, yeah. I also made 90 cents an hour working for Food Fair. Oh, okay. So, they'd say, well, it was really cheap. Well, not, you know, not in comparison to anything else.
What is your best memory of Trinity College days with you and Elsie?
Probably it cemented us.
So that's Alicia at jfcsoccer.com.
Okay.
Probably the best story we have is also a difficult story. Because we came down with some money.
Okay.
And I thought, I'll get a job, ain't no problem. I didn't. Yeah, we were down to literally $60.
Okay.
Rent was $60.
Okay.
I said to Elsie, one or two, we can go home or we can pay rent. I had an extra dollar bill. It was a Canadian dollar. Now, in Detroit, that was fine. In Florida, nobody ever saw Canadian money.
Yeah, right.
So, she said to me, you choose. I said, well, we had a 6 month old. I said, we go home. She said, well, what are we going to do? Well, we had some DBI, we had some Trinity. We'll get a small church. What are you going to preach? I said, well, I guess I hesitated, whatever. She said, are we going to preach that God can provide? Of course. Well, apparently he can't. I paid the rent.
You paid the rent.
Yeah. That day we got a job. And didn't have one before.
And I think your faith grew a little bit as a result of that, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was probably the single biggest decision for us. Because we had no money left.
Yeah.
But
God provided.
Here we are, all these years later.
Did God ever fail you, Jack?
No. No. We never missed a man.
Did you come up against another test like that in other times of your ministry?
Probably. I think if one of my weaknesses would be we didn't have enough money. Now, we never went without, but there were a lot of times when I thought, okay, maybe I need to supplement this with something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't. Now, I had other jobs part-time here and there. But we never stopped ministry. 65 years.
65 years. What was your first ministry after Trinity College?
A church in Detroit was a German Baptist church. And I was an interim pastor.
Okay. Explain what German Baptist meant. For you at that time.
Okay. North American Baptist General Conference. Mm-hmm. Basically made up of immigrants from Germany and Poland during World War II.
Okay. All right.
And that was the people they went after. There were 13 churches in the area of Detroit who all spoke German only.
Mm.
Now, as the children came on, then more English.
Yeah.
And they took me on as a Sunday school teacher at an evening service in English. But I didn't speak any German. The German pastor didn't speak any English.
So how did your staff meetings go?
Well, there was only the two of us, plus deacons or
whatever
we had those in those days. It was really some years before the immigration cut back.
Okay.
And then they realized that there's a neighborhood we need to reach. But we did, in the early days, we didn't try to reach the neighborhood.
Okay.
We reached the German immigrants.
In the church?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these were Baptists from Germany, which was, you know, certainly not the preeminent.
Well, they had to leave Germany or be slaughtered, weren't they?
Yeah. Yes.
How long were you in that first ministry, approximately?
2 years before they got a bilingual pastor who could speak both German and English. And then I moved on to a church in Monroe and then a church in Berkeley, which was my home church. We were there 10 years. Started a church start from there, and they were lukewarm Baptists, IFCA Baptists, Independent Fundamental Churches of America.
Okay.
Or I Fight Christians Everywhere, depending on your emphasis. But from that, I got beyond the denominational area,
okay.
particularly when I began to work in counseling and that kind of thing, hospital counseling, military and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah. When you moved into hospital and military counseling, did you leave pastoring altogether or did you
no,
do both?
No, I pastored all along.
Okay. Okay.
Either in a church where I had sufficient help for times when I was away.
Uh-huh.
In other words, a school teacher or someone who was proficient in the scriptures.
Right.
And these were congregational churches, but the four C's, conservative Christian congregational churches.
Okay, okay.
Which are quite a,
and they were all in Michigan, all of these churches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we never pastored outside of Michigan.
Were you in most of those churches while you were doing counseling, the main Sunday teacher, preacher?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And did a lot of funeral counseling, lots of hospital counseling.
Yeah, yeah.
My heart really reaches out to people who are struggling.
Yeah, yeah. God's given you a tender heart that way, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did you, it seems like you picked up some other coursework during the course of your ministry.
Yes, yeah, I picked up other counseling and psychology and so on from other sources, yes.
Did you go for another degree, or were you using those as just continuing education kind of thing?
Mostly continuing education.
Okay.
Some actually at University of Detroit, which was a Jesuit school.
Okay.
But because the Bible Institute did not teach counseling or that kind of thing in those days.
It was kind of
it was Bible
frowned on in those days, wasn't it? Yeah.
But when I did get to Trinity, there was more counseling.
Okay.
So, but not much more in Detroit Bible Institute.
Okay.
They were Bible schools.
Yeah, yeah.
And Trinity was a Bible school, but Dr. Watson had the wisdom to reach beyond his group into others.
Yeah, yeah. If you were to be able to speak to that graduating class today, what would you have said to them if you had half hour, 20 minutes? What would you say to them?
Whatever direction you're headed in, the Bible has got to be the source of everything you do. And I can live with the changes. Things do change.
Mm-hmm.
Was I in a really comfortable church today? Not really. But I've got to have the Bible.
Yeah. How has your... May I go a little deeper into your personal relationship with the Lord by asking, how has your personal time with God grown through the years? If I'm not being too
I think one way is that I've been through two sets of bypasses. I have a heart valve. I've had heart attacks. So we've had some physical struggles. And they just drove me deeper with God. And aware that people in the hospital desperately need a chaplain.
So God used that for you?
In a lot of ways, yes. Yes.
As a window or a new calling? How would you define that?
Probably a combination of that. Because the window would be the same. It'd still be biblical.
Mm-hmm.
But I have reached out well beyond my comfort area with a denomination or a particular group, or even into non-fundamental areas, which often gets overlooked by the fundamental church.
So were you able to counsel people of other faiths?
Yes.
And to be a chaplain to them?
Yes.
How did they receive that as a Protestant? Maybe they didn't know, but...
Oh, no, they knew.
Okay.
They knew because there was, I think on my part, an awareness that people who are struggling need God.
Mm.
They don't need a particular brand, as we were thinking, in denomination, but they need God, and they get overlooked.
Is that part of the created in the image of God hole in human beings that don't have
that? I think so. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, the more fundamental we get, sometimes the narrower we get.
Mm.
And we ignore people who have very powerful needs that a particular verse does not just get thrown at them.
Okay.
I build a relationship. I want the right to speak to them of God by befriending them, of being a friend. And
how do you, where do you start that friendship with a perfect stranger in a hospital bed?
By being nice.
Okay.
Because we're not always nice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sometimes our fundamentalism makes us very narrow-minded in a lot of ways.
Okay.
I mean, we become unfriendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you listen to me, you're not worth, well.
Yeah. You're not worthy of my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't do that. He had time for all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of that came from Trinity. I think a lot of that came from Watson. I think a lot of that came from Dr. Bragg.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So.
So you... You're wearing a shirt that has, I can't read it exactly.
Grief Ministry.
Grief Ministry. Tell me a little bit about your grief ministry. Well, shingle, if you will, or whatever you want to, however you want to define it.
Being aware that everybody is grieving about something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for an answer to their heartache. It may be emotional, it may be physical, it may be sexual, maybe all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But they need to hear from God. Psychology won't do it without the scriptures. I'm a biblical psychologist.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So the answer is I'm going to use the Bible in the best way I can to reach your need. Now, I may begin in a way that is not as direct as I would have been taught to be.
Right. Why would that be?
Because if I hit them too hard, they just say, well, you're just like all the rest of them. You're not going to listen to me.
Mm-hmm. That kind of could close the door straight away.
Yes. Yeah. If they don't listen to me, no matter what I say, it's not going to work.
Mm.
If they know I legitimately like them and care for them, they will listen. And they do.
That's a gold nugget. That's a gold nugget.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack. That's a good one.
And, you know, I could hear Elsie say, you know, okay, we were in the car one day, and this man came up to the car. I put the window down, and he said, aren't you Pastor Nunn? I said, yes. When you had my wife's funeral, my aunt's funeral, my some funeral,
yeah.
What you said really was good. And Elsie would say, what'd you say? I don't know what I said. But it was something that got their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And now they go to church. And now they've become a believer. And now they have, you know.
So at that moment, how did you handle the praise that came to you from that open window in your mind?
I probably just said, whatever I said, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't remember what I said. I don't remember their specific problem. Sometimes I would have. The loss of a baby, the loss of a child, the loss of a husband, a wife, mm-hmm. which has been very interesting for me because a year and a half ago I lost my wife.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things I thought about that I've had to rethink.
Mm, because you were in the middle of it yeah. yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still active in grief ministry?
Yes.
And yes. you are how old now?
I am 86.
86.
Yeah. And so basically I'm a healthy 86
praise
with
God.
Heart problems and all kinds of situations, but I do well.
Praise God.
Well, I'm 1,200 miles from home.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And I'm driving.
And,
so.
And I'm here looking at you, and you look for what time? 4:47 in the afternoon. You're not falling asleep on me.
No,
after
no.
a battery of questions,
no.
you are doing well. Praise
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, I want to thank you for a few minutes of a look at your life.
You're very welcome.
And I am blessed, which means happy in this case, and I'm blessed in other ways. I've heard about you for years off and on. Les Harris has reminded me about Jack Dundas, and I'm glad to be able to sit down and hear and just get to know you a little better.
Wow. Thank you.
And that's an interview with Jack Dundas, class of 1961.